kasih itu ada sudah berkurang tadi.
And it should be able to talk about the behavior of the Sahaba that they took over Makkah al-Mukarramah. That's what I mentioned, how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave Hazrat Ikrimah, son of Abu Jahl. And I promise that I will talk to you about how various other of the inmates of Makkah al-Mukarramah re-accepted Islam. And what is the behavior of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how compassionate he was, and how forgiving a nature he had. It is reported that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, then he came and he appealed to the Quraysh, the custodians of the Kaaba at that time. He told them that he wants to go inside the Kaaba. He wants to go inside the Kaaba and he wants to make ibadat and then go away to Madinah al-Munawwarah. However, they did not allow him. They did not allow him to do that. When they did not allow him to do that, he went away. And now he came back as the conqueror, came back as the ruler, and he came back as the one having complete victory over Makkah al-Mukarramah. When he came towards the Kaaba, now he had to purify what was inside the Kaaba. And the key of the Kaaba, the door, a certain family, and Usman ibn Talha had the key. According to some narration, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Bilal to go and get the key, radiallahu ta'ala. And according to some narrations, he told Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala to go and get the key. But remember, these people were all now in hiding. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Ali to go get the key. Hazrat Ali brought the key. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hazrat Ali, "Ya Ali, how did you get this key? When you asked the person for the key, did he give it to you or did you have to hit him a little bit, squeeze it a little bit and get the key out of him?" Hazrat Ali said, "No, I asked you for the key." He said, "You did not want to give me the key. So I gave a few shots to the key for you." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "Ya Ali, go give him the key back. Go give him the key back and tell him, give you the key. And when he gives you without any fuss and without any fight and quarrel, then take the key. And then leave the key with him." See how hikmat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another victor or another person taking over the land, he will immediately say, "Oh, fantastic thing you did. Should have given 2-3 kicks to flatten him a bit and then or left him alive when you came. Why you never kill him and come?" But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mercy to mankind. Hazrat Ali sent Hazrat Ali back. Never sent someone else. He said Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala who back. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala who went and he went and gave back the key and he told the person Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent you to take the key back. So now I want the key. Rasulullah said, "What the key?" First he gave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the key, opened the Kaaba, went inside, and cleared up all the idols. And there were pictures, or shall we say, engravings on the wall too. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had them washed and had them scraped out. Most of the idols, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he pushed down himself. That is a famous incident there inside the Kaaba, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not reach a few idols, and he told Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that how shall we break that. So Hazrat Ali said that, "Oh Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you get on my shoulders and we can break off those idols." Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ya Ali, you cannot carry me, but you get on my shoulders and you drop those idols down. A clear indication here that on the day when there was Hijrat, Rasulullah ﷺ went to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and on that Hijrat, Hazrat Abu Bakr is Rasulullah's father-in-law. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu should now and then carry Rasulullah ﷺ on the shoulder and walk. What we say here, that see Allah Ta'ala is showing us that Hazrat Abu Bakr can carry Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, can carry the responsibility of the Nubuwwat after Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And here Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, yani, I will carry you, you don't carry me. Meaning after Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passes away, Hazrat Abu Bakr must shoulder responsibility first. Then Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took the key and he called that person, Usman ibn Talha, and told him, Ya Usman, this is your key. First of all, the person was actually shocked down, because when Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam summoned him and told him, come for the key, and come, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will see you. Now obviously he was afraid, because Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will call him and now, and he's thinking that about that other incident, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, give me the key, and he refused. Now Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got the key, and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying he will come. So now he's worried that if he goes, he'll get hurt, isn't it? But now Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, no, he has the key. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for him. And made dua that, Ya Allah, keep this key in this khandan. Keep this key in this family. And subsequently, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also mentioned that whosoever forcefully takes away the key from that khandan, from that tribe, that person on the day of Qiyamah will rise as a fasiq and a hajar, as a transgressor and an evil one. Presently, it is in that same khandan. Presently, as we are sitting here, 1990, it is with that khandan. And it is reported, people have narrated that these days when the king, when the Saudi king comes to visit the Kaaba and wants to go inside the Kaaba, and a big seat that takes place there, they cordon that place off, and the tawaf goes on, but outside the cordon, there are soldiers and military and whatnot, and then the king comes. And it was reported also that once the king came, and the person who had the key was not well. And no male adult was available at that time. And now the king is standing there in the area where you make tawaf, in front of the Kaaba, wants to go inside the Kaaba, and the key is not available. Some of the elders in that family had gone out and suffered, and some were not well. Finally, one of the grandchildren, he had to be escorted by the police to and fro, and they put a key in his hand, and he brought the key from the house to the haram, and they say that they had to pick him up, pick this person up, this small boy holding the key in his hand, and they put the key inside the lock. Maybe because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still having mercy on those people who are roaming there. And one thing is for certain, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we are discussing in Surah Fil, and we will discuss today also, that Allah is the protector of the Kaaba. No one besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protector of the Kaaba. And how merciful is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that at that stage, when they are being victorious over Makkah al-Mukarramah, he does not get excited, they are pleading and crying before Allah Ta'ala, they are making dua before Allah Ta'ala, forgiveness they are seeking. No pride, no arrogance, nothing is there. Today, you give a person a small post, he thinks that he is like the Prime Minister or second to none. We have the subhanahu wa ta'ala got the ability to imitate how Sahaba behaved and how the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam behaved. once well in incident here, the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also should only take milk from one of the breasts, and the other breast he should leave for all his other brothers in suffering. I'll explain to your wife that you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim al-Ahmad wa sallam ala Rasul al-Kareem. We are discussing our Surah Al-Ukhara. I mentioned to you various incidents, how this incident came about. Today I will mention to you some salient features about it and some points that we can learn and we can draw from it. And these points we should bear in mind properly how we are going to make them. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the outset of the Surah, Alam tara kayfa, that do you not see how? Here he is saying that do you not see, as if to say you are seeing the event. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using this because this incident was so famous and it was so well narrated. There are certain things that become so famous that you cannot deny. For example, in this age of ours, if you ask a small boy to who is Saddam Hussein, he'll tell you who is Saddam Hussein. You understand? And he will mention it, who is Saddam Hussein. And in those days, this incident took place so near the birth of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala told about. Do you not see what how we do to the Ashab of Fil, what we did with those people of the elephant? So they cannot deny it. Allah Ta'ala is telling them, you cannot deny this incident. It is so fresh that your fathers, your great grandfathers, your fathers were narrating this incident. You cannot deny it. That is why Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is using this method, this system of speech. How beautiful it is. But you don't see how we dealt with the people of the elephant. Then, in this whole incident, you will come across the birds versus the elephants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the side of the birds. And the elephants are monitored by Abraha, back by Bilbis. The size of the bird you can see. The size of the elephant you can see. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives victory to the birds and the elephants are defeated. While Nusrat support is with the bird and Nusrat help is not with the elephants. So this concept that we have got in our mind and what belief that has come out from us here is that Allah Ta'ala can help us, that Allah Ta'ala can support us, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, if we got nothing, but if we have got Allah on our side, we have got everything on our side. And if we have got the best equipment with us, if we have got all the power with us, we've got the atomic power with us, we've got chemicals with us, we've got everything with us. We've got nuclear warheads with us, and we've got America behind us, we've got Russia behind us, and we've got all the superpowers behind us. But if Allah is not with us, then we cannot. On the other hand, if we have got nothing, if we are not equipped well, but if we've got quality of Iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defeat the superpower, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defeat the atom bomb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause miracles. Why? Because the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we read this surah so many times a day. But we ever ponder that how the birds, small birds, each bird carrying three pebbles, one in its beak and two on its claws, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them and they defeated those elephants. The best chosen elephants, those big elephants. And I will narrate to you, Ibn Kathir Rahimahullah Alayhi says there were 60,000 people besides the elephant. 60,000 people he brought. So he never come there to joke. He brought the elephants, he brought 60,000 people, and he gave them to run down the Kaaba. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can imagine now such a big force he brought. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aids and protect the Kaaba. What comes out very clearly here, as far as the Kaaba is concerned, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the house which Ibrahim alayhi salam built with Ismail alayhi salam, that Allah is its protector Allah is the original and the real custodian and the one who will protect it and secure it under all circumstances. Russia cannot protect it, America cannot protect it, Israel cannot protect it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only protector. And if we have to realize this and make dua, our Arab brothers understand this point. And they should be understanding this point, that Surah Fil is telling us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only protector of the Kaaba. And who? Abdul Muttalib also knows this. Do you not see when they took his 200 camels away, when he went to Abraha and told him, listen, give my camels back. So Abraha said, why are you not worried about the Kaaba I have come to destroy? You know, I am the owner of the camels. I must look after my property. The Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of the Kaaba, Allah will protect the Kaaba. Abdul Muttalib, who got no Iman. Even after Rasulullah was proclaimed, and after his birth too, Abdul Muttalib, grandfather of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also knows that Allah is the protector of the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we put faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect everything of ours. Provided we have contact with Allah, we have faith in Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do it. And also one incident comes to mind that Abdul Muttalib, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, they already saw the signs of good fortune in the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like for example, when he went with Halima Saadia radiallahu ta'ala anha, his wet nurse, then when they should take the goats out for grazing, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should tend the flock also, and the other villages also should tend the flock. It is stated that where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was and near his flock, the grass should grow immediately and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's flock should eat, and on the other flock that side where no grass was growing. People were reporting these strange things. When he came back to Makkah al-Mukarramah, there was famine there. There was famine. And here also, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, when Abdul Muttalib took Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hand and he went by the Kaaba and began to make tawaf with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was very happy that his son has been born. That he's got a grandson. A few years later, he took Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that tender age and took him in front of the Kaaba and said that, oh Rabb of the Kaaba, that there is famine in the area. Famine does not seem to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah. Oh Rabb of the Kaaba, we plead because of this youngster, remove the famine. We plead because of the goodness of this youngster, remove the famine. And the famine was removed. They knew value of Rabb of Kaaba. They knew the value of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although he's not bringing even faith in him. Today we for certain we know Rasulullah's words are true, Allah is with us. We have to bring firm faith. And how quickly we resort that, oh, the Haramain is going to get attacked, then we start bringing in other people to protect. These other people are there for their own interest, not for the interest of the Haram. These other people are motivated, they're not either there for the protection of the Haramain. As you can see clearly, the protector of the Haram is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no other besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word Ashabul Fil, the people of the elephant. Do you not see what we have done with the people of the elephant? Every word of Allah ta'ala is chosen. Now the commentators say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used Ashabul Fil, the words. Why? Because those people had become like the elephant, those people who came to attack the Kaaba. They had become like animals. They had the qualities of animalism in them. They had come to attack the Kaaba. They had no sense in them like the elephants. They had no intelligence in them like the elephants. They were ruthless like the elephants. They were brutal like the elephants. And they had these qualities which an animal had, those people had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is linking them like the people of the elephant, like the elephant. The people of the elephant related because of their qualities, no brains and no intelligence, and like jungle-like qualities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them like cord. Gasfib ma'kul means like when you have a harvest and you have cord, and after a cow or the cattle go and eat of this, then you can see the plate that is left. It's half cut or three quarter cut, and there is a sharp scab up here and there everywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it like that. There is a report in the Kaseer that those pebbles, they should fall up to the head of the person. As it said, they should go right through those people. One struck with those stones, and they should go right through them. And also, that while doing that, let alone the bodies be torn apart, that when the stone should hit them, that the flesh should shoot off the bodies also. As if to say, in these days we can understand that. Now when perhaps someone, when they wrote the commentary, they were doing it on pure faith, they were writing these things, and the pure narration. These days you and I know that there are certain guns where you shoot a person, when the bullet reaches the person, then it explodes the person. Those guns are available, if you all know more about those things. That when the bullet reaches the person, it causes the person to burst up in flames, or it causes the person to explode. Here, though the stones were hitting them, they were hitting through the head and coming down, and the pieces of the body, or the fleshes of the body were being torn apart. It shows that a person who goes against Allah, or he goes against the deed of Allah Ta'ala, he goes against the Tawheed of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will punish him. The other point is that an elephant, everything is in the hands of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. See that elephant, when that guide of that elephant, when he told him, listen, don't move, you have to go and do this action which is not desirable to Allah, then that elephant refused to move. I have explained to you, they poked that elephant, it refused to move. But when they turned that elephant around, it wanted to move. Point that we have to learn, that the elephant also, it will move when Allah Ta'ala wants it to move. Everything is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. The elephant, although it got the qualities of animalism, as if you say it is wild, it is of the jungle, but still too, when Allah Ta'ala wants it to move, it will move. When Allah Ta'ala wants it to stop, the big foot of the elephant too will stop and stay there. It can't move at all. But everything is in the hands of Allah. That is why we also say that the leaf of the tree does not fall without the permission of Allah Ta'ala. The big elephant here does not move if the will of Allah Ta'ala is not there. One commentator draws a nice correlation here. He states that during the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a camel, and the camel's name was Qaswa. And when he came right near Hudaybiyah, then the camel sat down. And the camel refused to move. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they tried to move the camel, refused to move. Meanwhile, these negotiations were taking place between Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Meccans. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Qaswa don't want to move today. Qaswa does not want to move. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that anything which the Meccans want us to sign upon, anything, any clause, we'll accept. Any clause, whatever they say, we'll sign upon. That is why if you study the history of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and especially peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, that you'll be shocked that how come the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted all those clauses. Because all those clauses look as if to say they're all against Islam, Muslims, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba. Every clause looks against them. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam signed it, and Allah Ta'ala classified it that it is a great victory. It is a great victory what had happened. And within a short while after that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks into Makkah as a victor. So they correlate this incident with the stopping of the elephant and also the stopping of the camel of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, when he came out of his house, the night of Hijrah, he also threw stones at those people. Read Surah Yasin, and threw stones at those people, dust onto those people who were standing outside ready to attack him. Here Allah Ta'ala used the stones. Now another point is, that Allah Ta'ala can use stones, Allah Ta'ala can use birds, Allah Ta'ala can use a disbelieving or a disobedient servant to protect his deen. Allah Ta'ala here in Surah Fil uses the stones and the birds to protect. Here when Rasulullah moves out of his house, the stones are used to protect. So Battle of Badr, Nabi Kareem making dua, crying, and then takes the stones and dust, reads upon it and throws it towards the kuffar. Victory comes. Battle of Badr, Battle of Hunayn, all these battles, Allah Ta'ala is using malaika on the sides of Muslims. See, the aid of the unseen, we Muslims have to start making our iman strong with that. Because we have placed so much of our iman on the dollar, on the petrol, on the chemicals, on the nuclear, on the bomb, on the so-called man who is holding a very big gun in his hand. That is why we are relying on those things. Sahaba went out to the Battle of Badr ill-equipped. Allah Ta'ala, the malaika came. When we build our iman like that, then we'll be protected. Allah Ta'ala will bring the aid from the unseen to help us. But we have full faith that all the treasures in the skies and earth and what's on the earth and under the earth are belong to Allah, and Allah is in control, Allah Ta'ala will help us. But we have to bring firm faith, like how it is in this Surah Fil, that they went away to the mountains, the Mushrik and the Kufar, saying Allah Ta'ala will protect the house. The one point here, that these Mushriks, they were worshipping idols, but Allah Ta'ala still protected them. Understand? They were worshipping idols there, Habul there, Shams there, red granite idols there, they were idols in the Kaaba, and they were having pictures and portraits and statues and all those things. But still Allah Ta'ala protected them. So the aid of Allah Ta'ala, protection of Allah Ta'ala was not due to, not against their idol worshipping, but Allah Ta'ala protected them because Allah Ta'ala wants to protect Tawheed. Allah Ta'ala wants to protect His house. And Allah Ta'ala wants to protect His deed. In this age also, if someone decides to attack Tawheed, if someone decides to attack the Sharia, if someone decides to attack the deed of Islam, then he is looking for big trouble. Person who is disobedient to Allah Ta'ala, he's major sin, he's involved in minor sins, but he does not say that, listen, I'm not a sinner. But a person who attacks intentionally the deed of Allah is looking for trouble. The person who intentionally attacks Allah, Rasulullah and Sahaba is looking for problems. The person who attacks the laws of Allah Ta'ala is looking for big problems. And just as Allah Ta'ala punished those people on this earth, how many died there? And those who were left, I will read three passages, they had leprosy and whatnot diseases. That those who attack the deed of Allah Ta'ala, those who attack the pious of Allah Ta'ala, those who attack the friends of Allah, those who attack the Anbiya of Allah, those who attack the Shariat of Allah, those who attack anything of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala get punished in this world, and I have seen it happening. One brother should criticize the ulama ikram, and he should also verbally criticize my respected elders, he should criticize the Tabligh Jamaat. And he should speak ill. What are these people doing that you criticize the ulama? I've seen with my own eyes that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala made him bedridden. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala caused him that he had to sell his shop. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala caused him to sell his house. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala caused him such that he was bedridden. And the only people that came to aid him and to turn him from one side to another side were the brothers from the Tabligh Jamaat of that locality. No, and his close friends and associates were nowhere to look at him. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala made his son that he, while lying there dying, that he was forced to see that his children misbehaving and his wife and his daughters misbehaving and becoming immodest and immoral. He could not do anything, absolutely anything about this. And those people who he should swear, now he had to phone them up late in the night, come and turn me, come and take me and do this for me. So to criticize anybody who is doing something deedy, who is doing something haq, that if you cannot do it, then you rather keep quiet, you make dua, Allah Ta'ala grant me the ability to do what they are doing, or grant me the ability to stay silently. That is why Rasulullah has stated in one hadith, there is a fadail jihad, that it is actually to go out in jihad or go to such a place and remain in the mountains where you don't harm anybody. Because when you harm anybody, meaning that you speak ill of a person who's doing right, you are bound to get the wrath of Allah. And these people who came to destroy the Kaaba, they never come to destroy idol worship, they came to destroy Tawheed in reality. Because the original foundation was on Tawheed, not on the idol worship. So deen of Allah Ta'ala, to mock at it, jeer at it, is very dangerous. Rather keep quiet, silent, and make dua, Ya Allah Ta'ala grant me hidayat. But then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, inshallah, should grant us hidayat. It is reported that no one knows where those stones came from. It is reported that no one knows where those stones came from. It is also stated by all the great Mufassiri that those birds also, because those birds were never seen before, those birds only were seen during that time, and those birds after that were not seen. The stones, where they came from, how and where, all the way they picked the stones up, no one exactly knows. It also shows that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, put the taqat in the stones. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, small stone like that, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He can put the strength in it. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He can remove the strength from the atom bomb, and He can put the strength of the atom bomb into the stone. And the stone, strength He can put in the atom bomb. This is how...